This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN at the Track, the road to the Kentucky Derby. Now here's your hosts, Mike Somich and Patrick Maher.
VSiN at the Track, road to the Kentucky Derby, hour three as we kick it off here. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher, and a pleasure. Let's bring in an expert. Enough of these amateurs. He's there at Churchill. And earlier today, Steve Bick hosted the NBC Kentucky Derby pre-show on SiriusXM. Steve Bick, of course, host of At the Races, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. SiriusXM, Sirius 162, XM 207. And you can also check out Steve at stevebick.com. It is a pleasure, Steve, to have you. Paint the picture. What's Churchill like right now in real life?
Well, it's chilly. Let's establish that. It's the coldest derby in 35 years, give or take. Some people say 1989, but still very pleasant. Better than rain. Track is perfect. Everything's in place for a terrific derby, and now we're really getting close, an hour away.
Now, Steve, I got to ask you about what you think is going to happen on the odds board here. We're starting to get more information now that we have the pick three and the daily double will pays up. And we saw the Oaks double, your favorite, Further Ado, in the pick three, your favorite, Further Ado, yet currently the fourth choice on the odds board behind the one, the six, and behind three of the three horses, the one, the six, and the eight. Who do you think ends up actually being the favorite when they break from the gate?
It's a great question. It's already been confusing and surprising. The fact that So Happy has taken all this money, is still holding. He's actually come up a tick. He's at 6-1. But to have all of these horses, Renegade 5-1, Commandment 6-1, So Happy 6-1, Chief Wallaby 6-1, Emerging Market is the value at 9-1, 6-1 on Further Ado. We had expected the whole storyline coming into Derby was the three logical favorites, Further Ado, Renegade, and Commandment. And to have, six, seven horses at this late date, at this late juncture, to have them this close in price is really surprising. But, more and more, we're getting this in Derby. And So Happy was the magical name, it seems, that caught people's attention.
Our buddy Steve Bick here, host of At the Races on SiriusXM. Steve, you've been to many, many Kentucky Derbies, and we like to say it's a unique race, so it's wide open, but we've been kind of pounding this theme. This one really genuinely is wide open. I feel like you can find seven or eight horses that could win this thing.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth. I mean, I've been here 2 weeks. And, the storyline originally was, that there were the three logical favorites. They were the three most logical horses. But then when horses started to fall by the wayside, even this morning, losing the Puma. I mean, the Puma had plenty of momentum heading into today. He was a horse, I think, that a lot of people felt, was really the now horse. Next thing you know, he's gone. Certainly Emerging Market to me, I mean, that's my pick. Emerging Market was 15-1. He's bubbled up. I think people understand that the two starts is not that big of a deal, especially given that last night Chad with the female counterpart, always a runner. She cashed in her chip winning the Oaks off the third start. So here's, Emerging Market. He seems even more well suited to win today in his third start. I think that people are trying to talk themselves into some interesting other horses, and there are some with appropriate long shot odds. A horse like Incredibolt. I mean, will I be shocked if he wins? No, I picked him third. But I still think when everything's when they put him in the gate, I think we're still looking at the logicals, Renegade, Commandment, Further Ado, and then Chief Wallaby and Emerging Market. I think your winner comes somewhere from those five.
It's interesting when we have contention running this deep. It does feel like the majority of people are able to shrink it down to just a couple horses that they are interested in having in that top spot. I'm kind of with you here, where I have it down to the Florida contingent, Commandment, and Chief Wallaby. Wouldn't be shocked if others win it, but to me, they're the two most likely win contenders here. We've been talking a lot about the pace. I want to ask you your opinion on it. What do you expect from an early pace in this Kentucky Derby? Do we see a fourth year in a row where a closer is able to close into a hot pace and get the job done?
Well, one of the things that is fascinating about the way this field morphed was the horses that were falling away, Right to Party, Silent Tactic, some of the horses that ended up having to scratch were horses, Full Effort, the other Brad Cox horse. They were horses that were going to be in the back of the pack, and the horses that got in ended up being horses that were going to add to the pace. So I think you do have a real potential for a hotter pace than we have talked about for weeks leading up to this. So, yeah, I do feel like some of the late runners have a big shot. And, you know, you even look to a horse like Golden Tempo, Cherie DeVoe, had a very good winter at Fairgrounds, and he absolutely needs a pace. He's also moved in, three gates, so he's not leaving from the 19 anymore. He's leaving from the 16 hole. Doesn't have as much of a job for Jose Ortiz to find a comfortable place first time by the stands. I think he can maybe save some ground to get to the backstretch. So a horse like Golden Tempo, I think, is enhanced by this situation. I think any of the horses that were planning on stalking and closing, they've absolutely benefited by the way the field has changed over the last 3-4 days with the scratches.
And Steve, one of those horses that wants to close was your morning line favorite. I'm looking at the live odds, 5-1 right now on Renegade. I'd love to get your take on Renegade out of the one hole.
You know, the one hole didn't bother me, and I didn't think that if he gets beat, it's just because of the one hole. Rad Ortiz, come on. Rad deals with situations like this all the time. I mean, obviously not with 18 horses trying to move down from the outside to find comfortable space. But Albus has got no early speed. Intrepido and Litmus Test, they're going to take off. And Renegade and IRAD should have a bubble. They should have some room to operate. So I think he finds a comfortable place. I mean, is he going to be 6th, 7th, or 8th into the turn? No. Is he going to be 14th, 15th, 16th? Yeah, that'd be fine. I think if he is mid-pack or right in that realm, I think he's fine. If he gets beat, it's not because he drew the one-all.
Now, we've seen Bob Baffert be a consistent storyline, whether or not he has a Derby horse over the last decade or so. We saw Crude Velocity before absolutely come out and romp for him in the Pat Day Mile. He's got two in here. Litmus Test, it feels like a speed and fade. What do you make of Potente, though? His other horse, the 14, who was able to relax off the pace and close two back before trying to chase down or getting passed by So Happy last time out. Does Potente have any interest for you, at least underneath on trifectas or superfectas?
He absolutely does, because he is the rare Baffert horse with speed that doesn't need the lead. He can sit third, fourth, fifth very comfortably, kind of like a congeree, if you want to go far back in the Baffert repertoire. He's got a big chance, and I did not expect coming here. I never expected to have an interest in him, but I ended up picking him fourth for just that reason. And that workout on Sunday, 57-4, not even being asked, that was an eye-popping performance. And the workout that it reminded me of immediately was Hard Spun. And then all Hard Spun did was go out and finish second. And if Street Sense has any traffic, if Calvin Burrell gets stopped anywhere along the line in that Derby, well, then Hard Spun's a Derby winner. Potente is very dangerous. And frankly, you look at the price, he's a value right now. He and Incredibolt are the two values. 18-1 for Potente, 26-1 on Incredibolt is ridiculous. He's got a huge shot, Incredibolt, and he should get a great trip.
Steve, we got about 2 minutes here. I feel like you've given us a breakdown on all 19 horses, but the question is, who wins the Kentucky Derby?
Well, I picked the Oaks. I picked Chad with Always a Runner. Derby, I picked Emerging Market. Two identical scenarios, horses that had issues as two-year-olds. And in fact, the issues that Always a Runner faced were much worse than the ones that Emerging Market faced. And he's done everything you would want. He's a much more mature horse than a two-starter runner would belie. He, having won at a mile and 3/16, I think that's a big plus for him. To me, Emerging Market is the right key horse. You get Flavian Pratt, whose record in this race is becoming historic. 9-1 right now. He's a $20 horse. I'm keying Emerging Market. I've got Further Ado underneath, and then Incredibolt and Potenti. And if you're looking for a crazy horse to hit the board, Pavlovian, 49-1.
Like that. Pavlovian at the end there. Steve Bick, he hosts At the Races. That's Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's on Sirius 162, XM 207. And you can find the information at stevebick.com. Thank you for pulling an audible and getting on the audio here. And enjoy the races, Steve. Thank you.
Guys, good luck today.
Good luck to you as well. It feels like I keep on hammering the post position, but the post draw does matter, and we're going to get into some percentages. Who wins where, coming out of what? Do we have a post draw that's never won? We'll get into those. And then you keep on bringing up the Florida circuit. I want to help the audience understand the different circuits across America when it comes to horse racing. He's Mike Somich. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VEASAN at the Track, the road to the Kentucky Derby.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VEASAN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VEASAN Pro.
Tuned in to VEASAN at the Track, the road to the Kentucky Derby, right here on VEASAN, the sports betting network.
That is race 9 at Churchill Downs. I should have set you up on that, but we like the 4. Stark Contrast bet down to 3-2.
Stark Contrast comes down to the
line. Hey, you're going to get it, Samo!
Is going to get home. So we go out. We start with a winner, a short price winner, but a winner nonetheless. So we'll take that the 12-run second here. So it's going to be 4-12-9 under the wire in the American Turf. So anyone with Stark Contrast out there, congratulations. Nice to get a winner home early.
VEASAN at the Track and Friendship, as we welcome you back. Mad Dog Sports Radio, along with VEASAN, the sports betting network, brings you VEASAN at the Track. Thrilled to have you, and we're not going anywhere. We got an hour and 45 minutes to go. Let's go, Samo. And, you know, my big takeaway from that clip is, and again, you're one of my better friends, but that was friendship right there. Having your back. Now, you've been a sourpuss since then, but having your back with that race and the 4-horse cashing, that's friendship. And I just wanted to say you're welcome.
Oh, yeah, that was friendship in the clip. But this sourpuss stuff, that is not friendship, Patrick. I need my hype man here. I need my hype man as we lead up to the Kentucky Derby. Just 45 minutes away from the time that they break from the gate in the 152nd run for the Roses. Let's go.
Let's go. And by the way, we should mention when the Kentucky Derby, as it draws closer, don't forget, YouTube TV subscribers, throw us up in the multi-view. We're now able, VEASAN is now able to get up in the multi-view. So don't go anywhere. Well, I'm going to be losing my freaking mind. I love this race. Honestly, I'm in a good mood today and I'm doing extra work. I can't get enough of it. Let's do this. Let's go to the post position and why it matters. Deutsch put together a great graphic for this. You know, it's funny, when a horse scratched earlier, and you'll have to help me with which one it was, and Further Ado jumped up to the 17 hole, I was like, uh-oh, because that's 0 for 46 The only post without a winner, Kentucky Derby history, the 17 hole, and that's Further Ado, who a lot of people like.
Yeah, and Further Ado drew up into that spot. We'll have to look. He may have actually drawn out of it again. We'll have to double check when we get to that second part of the graphic there. But that is the over spot, the dreaded 17 post. But it's interesting to look at the overall stats as well from this. Now, grain of salt, 152 races sounds like a lot. It is still a little bit of a small sample size at this point because of the fact that you haven't had all of these post positions have that many races. You mentioned 0 for 40-something on the 17. We always haven't had 17 horses. And so when you start with the post positions on the rail and you look at the one post, you're going to see 8 point something percent, right? 8% and change have gotten home from that one post. However, we haven't seen it since 1986, and the majority of the one-post winners won when there weren't 20 horses in the field. So they were able to have smaller fields, not as much congestion in toward the rail the first time under the wire, and that's why that specific post has benefited. We haven't seen anyone from the one-post since 2017 finish in the top three. It's a reason why you hear a lot of people not as interested in Renegade as they were before the post position draw. And generally, the one through four posts have just been a problem. And you're going to see, when we pull up this graphic, the last time in the money for the two and the three posts were in 2024. Those were some very good horses that were breaking out of there. So Mystic Dan won this race from the three post. Sierra Leone was able to finish second from the two post. He ends up becoming a Breeders' Cup Classic champion, and Mystic Dan got the trip of a lifetime. And so it's just tough to be able, even inside the five post, you look at where, even inside the four post, you look at litmus test there. It's nothing since 2014. You don't want to be on the inside if you're trying to hit the board. You need a perfect trip to be able to work it out when you're looking at the percentages.
Yeah, can we throw up the 1 through 10 graphic again there, boys? Because I think that's fascinating. Thank you very much. That is, and all these horses are moving around, so I'm getting confused. But the five posts, the five hole, is the most ever as far as winners. You've got 10 coming out of the five. Rhyme or reason? And let me just finish a thought, because I always think I like the horses outside in this race, Mike, because there's so much chaos down low that I kind of want the horse chilling, even though that he's a little wide. How about the five with the most winners? Any reason?
So one of the reasons, again, is there have been a lot of five winners before we went to 20 horses. So some of these post positions have benefited. In the five post, when you're winning a 12-horse field, is an ideal post. The five horse in a 20-horse field, not quite as ideal, because all of a sudden there's a lot more animals to your outside than there are when there's just 12 horses. And that's why we've seen the five hosts have success. That 8, 9, 10, that has been a very popular post position to be able to win. You've got So Happy sitting in the 7. That's 8.4%. A lot of those winners have come after that 20-horse field. Same with the Wonder Dean sitting there in the 8 post, 9.5%. And then Chief Wallaby, one of your major contenders, my pick on top, he slides into the 10. That is 10 through 12, I would say, are really your ideal posts that you want now in the Kentucky Derby. Now, we've seen outside winners win as closers. That's the other thing I think it's important to focus on. If you think of the horses that have broken those, you know, the outside posts and won, it's horses like Sovereignty, the 18, who circled the entire field to be able to get up and win the race. It sets up well to be outside as a closer, because you don't get any of the hustle or bustle. You don't get bumped when you're coming right out of the gate. You're able to just kind of float onto the inside. And then when you're on the backstretch, you're able to peel back to the outside. You don't have to try and weave through traffic to be able to get yourself to the front. So it's, if you're an outside post speed, it's a problem. If you're outside post closer, to me, that's a benefit to your trip, because you're not going to have to deal with all the hullabaloo right at the break.
That's a great breakdown, Mike. And, you know, the 8 horse, So Happy. I have to bring this up, because they just did a beautiful, and part of the Kentucky Derby, like my mother and other people get into it because of the humanistic side to it with the connections and the horses. There's always great stories. Maybe none better than Mark Glatt, who I've had the pleasure of interviewing. He has been a trainer for 37 years. I think he's based out of Santa Anita. This is his first runner. Think about this. A 37-year career, and So Happy, who is a co-favorite right now at 5-1, is Mark Glatt's first runner in the Kentucky Derby. And where it really starts to tug at the heartstrings, because they just showed her, and it's honestly got me emotional. His wife, who's been there with him, his teammate, his whole entire life, she passed away in February. So think about that. Passes in February, and they were a team, and now he first Saturday in May has a runner in the Kentucky Derby. That one really tugs at the heartstrings.
It does. It's a sentimental favorite in this race. After 30-plus years as being a pair, this is the first time 8 weeks later that you're going to go to the racetrack and you're going to have one of the biggest moments in your career and unfortunately not have that person who helps you get there right by your side today. So a lot of emotional investment in So Happy for people out there. I think the name is one of the reasons we're seeing money. The story, one of the reasons we're seeing money on So Happy, who is your San Diego Derby winner and ran very well last time out. It's a son of Run Happy, who is a champion sprinter. We'll see if the distance is an issue. That's my biggest concern with So Happy, the trip and the distance. He's going to be forward, and we're not sure he can get a mile and a quarter. If he passes those tests, he is as logical as anyone in here. And most of these horses have tests. That's what also makes this year so interesting, is there are challenges with every single one of these horses. There are chinks in the armor for them to be able to try and get to that winner's circle, and it allows for a very wide-open Kentucky Derby.
And Mike Smith aboard So Happy. He is the oldest jockey by a few months at 59 in many months to run in the Kentucky Derby. One with Giacomo, one with Justify. Mike Smith's a legend.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing atop a horse. And that there are certain people that you just trust in here. We're talking about post positions. We should also talk about jockeys, and specifically Flavian Pratt, who you're picking here, riding emerging Let's market. Go. He's been one of, if not the best, Kentucky Derby jockey far and away. If you look at what he's done from outrunning his odds, the number of times he's hit the superfecta, he has been as consistent as anyone. And you have to feel this is very much a skill to be able to, in this environment, with 19, 20 horses every single year, be able to pilot your horse to the top four has to give you a lot of confidence when you step into that gate, and also means that you're understanding the race flow very well. You're understanding where that horse needs to be to have its best opportunity at success. And Flavian Pratt been the best to do it in the Kentucky Derby the last 10 years.
Well, emerging market, Flavian Pratt's going to be on board. I like emerging market. You know who else likes emerging market? Dave Johnson. And here's what it's going to sound like here in just a little bit.
They pass the eighth pole, and it's So Happy trying to hold on. He's led from about the last half mile, and Potente is right there. And in the middle of the track, here comes Robusta. But gaining ground with every stride is emerging market, and down the stretch they come. Flavian Pratt goes to the whip. It's emerging market to the front, and emerging market wins the 152nd running of the Kentucky Derby.
And that's me celebrating in real time, DJ. Listen, you could take your buzzy horse and Chief Wallaby. It's not like you to jump on a bandwagon of a buzzy horse there, Samo.
It's funny. You're calling my horse buzzy, yet we've got Bick picking your horse. We've got Dave Johnson coming on picking your horse. Everyone's talking about your horse after what a runner wins yesterday in the Oaks. Your horse is the buzzy horse, not mine. You've taken over the buzz factor here, Patrick.
Sorry, just connection. I was still listening to Johnson, so I didn't catch that. But
oh yeah,
sounded no, cute.
It was
there,
probably Mike. A buzz in your ear because you picked emerging market.
Hey, touche. Who are we picking? What tickets are we building? That's next. VEASAN at the Track, a race to the Kentucky Derby.
At the Track, the road to the Kentucky Derby, right here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, it is VSiN at the Track. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. Just quickly, we'll get into it later. Jason Tatum has been ruled out for Game 7. That is massive, but it is now time. We're less than 30 minutes away from the Run for the Roses. We've got expert picks, and yeah, Mike Somich, of course, he's an expert, but we've got a plenty of picks. So here's the deal. Get your pen, get your paper, or get out your phone and get ready for a deluge of picks. And Samo, I give you a lot of gruff, but you hit Mage, you hit the Superfecta last year. Let's build your ticket this year. What do you got?
Let's do it. I'm going to be driving the bus for the Chief Wallaby people here that we've got coming up. I'm going to start it out with Chief Wallaby on top, the number 12 horse coming out of the Florida Derby for Bill Mott right now, 6-1 on the board. I fell in love with this horse on debut going 7 furlongs. I believe this is the most talented horse in the field. The question is, are we going to see that talent come through today? Bill Mott adding blinkers here. Kentucky Derby horses are 0-13, adding blinkers the last 25 years. However, those horses haven't been as good as Chief Wallaby is. I think he sits a very good trip in this spot, should sit in that 12th, 13th spot and be able to close on the outside. Drawing the 12 was a big thing for him. You did not want to be buried down on the rail in that 4 or 5 spot. So I like the fact that we're going to end up breaking from the 10 post after the scratches today for Chief Wallaby. I think Bilmont Junior and Junior Alvarado go back-to-back Kentucky Derbies here, and Chief Wallaby gets home first. I'm going to put him on top of a superfecta here. So I'm going to play the 12 on top of the 6 Commandment and the 11 Incredibolt. I agree with what we just heard from Steve Bick. Incredibolt absolutely live in this race. He's a big price on the board at 25-1, but his Virginia Derby last time out was a very good race, and he should improve third off the layoff here. I think he's got a very good chance to run into the exacta here. So I'm going to use that 6 Commandment and the 11 Incredibolt in second. And then in the 3rd and 4th spots, I will use the 6th Commandment, the 11 Incredibolt, and then I will include the 14, here, Potente, the 15 Emerging Market, the 18 Further Ado, and the 19 Golden Tempo. So my ticket will be 12 in the first spot, 6, 11 in the second spot, 6, 11, 14, 15, 18, 19 in the third spot, and 6, 11, 14, 15, 18, 19 in the fourth spot. I know that's a lot of numbers. If you're on your computer, you can head over to X and go to @Sommelbaum18. You can find an easy version of this ticket to be able to play it over there, Patrick.
Yep, nope, looks like a winner. I like it, Samo. I'll be pulling for you, but not as hard as I'm pulling for the next ticket. Well, let's go ahead and throw it up. You know, I built the trifecta here. Of course, we've talked about it. I do like the 15 Emerging Market, but I've given you slack. I do like Chief Wallaby as my next horse, so I threw him up top, 12 and 15. And then, you know, as we get to place, the Renegade thing just kept popping up. Like, everybody keeps saying the horse is the most talented horse. The one hole isn't, we've had many experts say the one hole isn't going to hurt him. I don't think he wins the race, but I'm kind of hedging here, protecting myself with a place or a show in my trifecta. Commandment hasn't done anything wrong. We talked about that. Incredible, I added because of Mike Somich. I have to admit that. The 11 and then the 12, Chief Wallaby, obviously you throw him in the place show as well in the trifecta with Emerging Market. And then Further Ado, outside as well. So 12-5 over 1-6, 11-12, 15-18 over 1-6, 11-12, 15-18. Samo, that is $1, and I think it's $40.
Yeah, not bad at all. And this is a great betting race from a trifecta, superfecta situation, because you can bet a little and you can win a lot. For instance, right now, Chief Wallaby over Commandment for $1, that's a $31 exacta. If you look at what these trifectas would pay with a horse that's 20-1 in there, you're talking about a $200, $300 trifecta, and it's going to cost you $10, $15 to be able to play it. So nice return on your investment if you are able to get this race right. And that's what Aaron Halterman is going to try and do. He's going to the trifecta pool as well. He's got the number 6 Commandment on top. I would say the majority of people we've had on today, Patrick, are either in one of our two buckets here, Chief Wallaby or Emerging Market, or they're with Aaron on Commandment, the three horses that we've consistently heard different people say as they've joined us here on the show. Aaron's also playing a 50-cent trifecta. He's going to play 1, 6, 12, 18 with 1, 6, 12, 18 with 1, 6, 7, 8, 12, 14, 15, 18 there as well. So Aaron trying to hit the try in a 4x4x8 format there with 8 horses being able to slot into that third place position, Patrick.
Yeah, and I know a lot of you are probably overwhelmed by the numbers. You can go over to VSiN Live as well, and we'll post all these to help you build your ticket. You still have plenty of time, about 25 minutes. You know, we say 57 as far as 3:57 my time, 6:57 on the East Coast, but generally it's going to go off a minute or two later, so you do have time here. We have more experts, so let's keep the graphics going as far as the experts. I think Dinzik is next with NBC. We can throw up who we have. I have it also in my rundown here. Let's see, Mike. We have Aaron. Oh, let's go Dinzik. He likes Chief Wallaby. So I think he's riding your coattails here.
Yep. We got two more Chief Wallaby fans here. Drew Dinsick has jumped in the passenger seat for me after I did the Deep Dive podcast with him on Wednesday. He's going to be on Chief Wallaby as well. He's at the track right now for NBC. And then Peter Fornatelli also going with the number 12 Chief Wallaby from In the Money Media over there. So two more experts there wanting to jump on the Chief Wallaby train. We did have Gina Bacola on earlier in the show. Gino B is going with the number 6 Commandment, and his top 4 are going to be Commandment, the number 8 So Happy, the number 14 Potente, and the number 19 Golden Tempo, Patrick.
And we've got the Bear in the mix, Fox Sports. Chris Felica, who's tremendous. He's a big VEASAN guy. Let's go ahead and build his box. I think he's got an exacta box. He does a $4 exacta box. And I'll have you explain to the Mad Dog Sports Radio audience in particular what the exacta box means. But he is going 11, 12, 15, 18, a $48 ticket exacta box. Mike, you want to explain what Felica's doing here?
Sure. So just some horse racing 101 terms. An exacta is the first and second place finishers in the correct order. A trifecta is the first, second, and third place finishers in the correct order. And a superfecta is the first, second, third, and fourth place finishers in the correct order. Chris here going with a exacta box, which means he has to have the first and second place finishers in the correct order. When you box a ticket, that means they can finish in any order. So he's got the 11 in first or second, as long as the 12, 15, 18 also run first or second. So any of those four horses, if any of the two run first or second, he cashes that ticket. And with the 11 specifically in there, incredible, if he can get that horse home at 25-1 in the exacta, you're going to get some nice returns for that, Patrick. So box means they can come in any order. When you bet something straight, it has to come in this specific order that you put those horses in.
I keep on saying it's wide open, but let's be honest. It's been Wallaby, it's been Emerging, and it's been Commandment. Those have been the consensus three here, and now we're, 2 hours, 40 minutes in? Those have been the consensus.
It is interesting that you can make an argument for Renegade on the Rail. You can make an argument for the 18 Further Ado. You can make an argument for the 7 Danon Bourbon. You can make an argument for the 8 So Happy. I haven't heard people make as many arguments for those horses as the odds currently show, right? When you have all of these horses that are grouped in 5 or 6 to 1, you'd expect you'd have experts coming on and gravitating toward all 6 of those horses. Yet in this case, 3 of them clearly the favorites. I think the one common thread that we have heard throughout this entire show is how much people respect what happened in Florida this year in those prep races. You had Commandment, you had the Puma, you had Chief Wallaby all running together. And you had the Puma, by the way, beat Further Ado in the Tampa Bay Derby before going and running second in the Florida Derby. So you have some cross-reference there that Florida probably a length and a half, 2 lengths better than what we saw from Further Ado if all 3 of those able to run back to that race. That's why I think we're seeing a lot of people key on Commandment, key on Chief Wallaby inside exactas and trifectas. And then you've got some people who want to jump in and go with Emerging Market who... Chad Brown, we saw it yesterday with What a Runner. 2 races, she gets the job done in the Oaks. Emerging Market, debuts at Tampa, comes back down to Fairgrounds, wins the Louisiana Derby, and now 3rd race of the career, we're jumping right into the deep end, into the Kentucky Derby and getting Flavian Pratt. I think there's reasons why we're consistently hearing the same horses come up here, Patrick.
And they just showed Emerging Market. I'm going to read the quote that tipped the scale for me why I'm betting Emerging Market. 3-time Eclipse Award winner Chad Brown, that's my guy. He said, quote, "I've been beaten in this race by horses that weren't nearly as good as Emerging Market, plain and simple. They're not this caliber. So why sit out there when there's a chance another long shot can win?" That's the type of journalism you're dealing with here, Samo. I go deep into the trainer quotes and I found a winner. Thank you.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if you found a winner. That kind of tells me that he thinks he should be a long shot, though, because he's saying we could see another long shot win, talking about his own horse. So, you know, now sub 10-1. Just saying, just throwing it out there.
We got the Derby coming up in just minutes. When we come back, what does the jockey mean? And we'll get into Jason Tatum ruled out for the Celtics tonight, game 7.
VSiN at the Track, the road to the Kentucky Derby, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
And it is Riders Up. We are getting closer and closer to post time, 152nd running of the Kentucky Derby. Mike Somich, I'm Patrick Maher. It's been a pleasure to have you with us. We're going to be on, of course, during the race, after the race for an hour to have a recap of it. I'll give you all the details coming up here in just a bit, but let's go straight to the board. And we can also get some probables in here because we've talked about the dance with favoritism and it continues to be a dance. Do we have a new favorite, Mike?
We do. Now $62 million in the pool and the number eight, So Happy, Now Your Favorite at 5-1 with 7.6 million. The number six here at Commandment has 7.5 million. So less than $100,000 separating your top two choices right now in the Kentucky Derby. Third choice on the board, the number one, Renegade. And we're starting to see Further Ado money come in here. He has taken over the fourth choice from Chief Wallaby. We'll see what he ends up at as more and more Further Ado money pouring in. And again, Further Ado was the favorite in the Oaks Derby double. Further Ado is the favorite in the pick threes, pick fours, and pick fives as well. So a lot of money going through Further Ado here as the horses start to head out onto the track for the 152nd running of the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, here comes those beautiful horses as they head out to the track. Something else to mention, and Mike's 100% dead on, that great story with Mark Latt and his not great, his wife passing away and Mike Smith being the oldest jockey to run in the Kentucky Derby. They are the favorite there. I loved his dad, Run Happy. I thought Run Happy was a bit of a sprinter, though. Wasn't trained very well. Let's be fair about that. But So Happy does have a tremendous trainer and a jockey as they head out. The jockey is a question I wanted to ask you about. We'll get some probables in as well. Is it pretty much, I guess, accepted that Irad Ortiz was going to be on Renegade and then Flavian Pratt was going to be on My Emerging Market? Those are the two best jockeys in America right now.
They are the two best jockeys in America right now, but they have very different records when it comes to the Kentucky Derby. Flavian Pratt has won this race before. Irad has not. Flavian Pratt consistently is running the top four in this race. Irad has not. So when you're looking at specifically the Kentucky Derby, Flavian Pratt, one of your go-to riders there. Junior Alvarado on Chief Wallaby has done very well in the Kentucky Derby. We've got a lot of connections here. Obviously, we've seen, as you said, Mike Smith win a Kentucky Derby before. Commandment, Brad Cox and Luis Saez, they have teamed up to cross the line first in the Kentucky Derby. Maximum Security got taken down in that race, but they did cross the line first there. And then John Velasquez on Further Ado has won multiple Kentucky Derbies as well. So a lot of the key contenders sitting with key jockeys on board in this race.
And I wanted to bring up why Emerging Market, who is a buzzy horse, and I am picking to win the Kentucky Derby. I want to bring up why it's such a unique story. So Emerging Market, trained by Chad Brown, Flavian Pratt's going to ride. He is a horse that got pneumonia at two, didn't race as a two-year-old, and has only raced two times. The last winner to have raced just two times, as you heard from Dave Johnson, Leonidas in 1883. Now, Justify had raced three times before winning the Triple Crown. So it's not crazy, and you're hoping the horse improves. But that is kind of the story why Emerging Market is such an unknown. We've only seen him race two times, and he's 2-for-2.
Yeah, he is. And we had the Curse of Apollo, which was a famous thing. No horse had won this race since Apollo way back in the 1900s, like mid-1900s, until Justify was able to break that Curse of Apollo. Now, since then, Mage also able to win this race without running at two. We've got a lot of horses that are going to be in this race that are also trying to, or a lot of the key horses here that are trying to break that, specifically the 12 Chief Wallaby did not run at two, the 15 Emerging Market did not run at two, the 14 Potente did not run at two. So you do have some of these horses that you could argue have more upside because they are still growing and maturing into their body. But from a mental perspective, you wonder, are they ready for this test? And that was the big question mark with not running it too, is two or three races enough to get you ready to face, in this case, 18 competitors going a mile and a quarter, the longest distance many of these horses may even run in their entire career. And none of them have gone to this distance yet today.
You know, Mike, I always talk about the market being built on emotion and perception. I think the So Happy money coming in now is emotional. It's a horse that could absolutely win it. I wasn't wowed, and you're always going to get a small field in Santa Anita. Now, we've seen horses win the Kentucky Derby coming off winning the Santa Anita Classic, so I'm not pretending like that doesn't happen. But I wasn't wowed by So Happy in the Santa Anita. I think this could be emotional because of the Mark Glatt story that we discussed.
Yeah, I think we're seeing public money here on So Happy, right? But money where it's, because at 15-1 on the morning line, I knew people that were interested in So Happy. When you get to 5-1 favoritism, I know a lot of people that are very surprised that we're sitting at this price. And I think that is because of the storyline here. It's one of the more emotional stories you have of any of these horses that are heading to the post. And it's a trainer that hasn't been here. The name specifically, So Happy. We've seen names absolutely matter in the Kentucky Derby.
Oh, yeah.
My Boy Jack, for instance, was wildly overbet in the Kentucky Derby simply because Jack was in the name. I think the Puma actually would have taken a lot of public money here with the name and the connections that were around it. You saw Sandman last year for Griffin Johnson take a bunch of money that probably wasn't necessarily valuable. Heck, we saw last night with Dave Portnoy's horse, who should have been 30-35-1, go off at 8-1 in the Oaks because of public money. So when you get to these races, you do have a lot of quote-unquote public money coming in, betting on names, betting on stories, versus betting on necessarily what's there on the page.
And the Puma, one of the reasons, as Mike mentioned, may have been heavily bet. Some pretty famous connections. That would be Taylor Swift and Mr. Kelsey. So the Puma scratched as the horses are coming by. I'm struck, and I know you are as well, as somebody that's so involved in the game of horse racing and horse betting. I am still struck every time I see the horses. You got to go out to a track and see these animals in person. As I mentioned before, majestic. Look at this Pavlovian is a gorgeous horse.
Yeah, just wait until you see Great White, one of the biggest horses that have ever run in the Kentucky Derby. Number 21 is going to come across your screen shortly here. Aptly named, monster-sized horse that is, not surprisingly, a gray horse here. So Great White there, going to be very easy to find as they break from the gate. He's the number 21 horse, going to be forwardly placed. Tried the dirt last time and did not go well. Has run better on synthetic tracks up to this point. He is sitting on the board right now at 21-1 as your 21 horse.
And the funny thing about that emerging market, I mean, he has, Chad Brown said he's a feminine looking horse. He's very dainty. So he's not the monster that a Justify, or as you mentioned, a Great White is as well. But maybe that, you know, slender build will help him navigate the other 19 horses, 18 horses as it is. If you are listening on Mad Dog Sports Radio, we'll bring you the NBC call of the 152nd Kentucky Derby. Mike and I are going to return for complete recap and analysis of the run for the roses. So again, Mad Dog Sports Radio listeners, you're going to get the NBC call. VSiN, stick with us, listeners, because we're going to be losing our minds live on the air, hopefully, as we get it, Mike.
Yeah, let's hope we have a similar story as they cross the finish line here, able to cash some tickets here in the Kentucky Derby. 9 minutes to post, so still plenty of time to be able to get your bets in right now. The number 8, So Happy, your current favorite at 5-1. The number 6, Commandment, the second choice at 5-1. Then third choice favoritism going to number 1, Renegade, and the number 18, Further Ado. You still got Chief Wallaby sitting at 7-1 right now. Your 15 emerging market sitting at 8-1. That is everybody who is sub 10-1 at this point. We do have, for the first time since Rich Strike, horses on the board at over 50-1 as well. We talked about this a little earlier when Rich Strike won at 80-1. We saw a shift in these races where all of the long shots were getting bet. That's just not the case right now. You've got the 2, Albus, at 47-1, the 3 sitting there at 51-1. If you go to the outside, the 22 and 23 both sitting on the board at 73-1. We've not seen a price like that in the Kentucky Derby since we saw Rich Strike win, Patrick.
Is there what surprises you the most looking at the live odds?
The price on So Happy, 5-1 is, to me, a very crazy price. Like I So Happy was like 8th or 9th, and so he has worked his way up as we have scratched horses off. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for him to hit the board. And of course, it's a Kentucky Derby. Any of these horses have the opportunity to win this race. We saw Rich Strike win at a monster price, but for me to put So Happy on my on the top spot of tickets, I would have wanted closer to that 15-1 morning line versus the current 5-1. I'm a little surprised Chief Wallaby is 7-1. I thought I would get a better price. Now, the scratch of the Puma, I do think, affected that this morning. I was hoping to get between that 8 and 10-1 range on Chief Wallaby. So a little tick short there. Outside of that, I think this has been pretty close to what I expected. You're getting a little money on Denon Bourbon. You're getting a little bit of money on Patente. But to me, so happy at 5-1 is the surprise.
Mad Dog Sports Radio listeners, remember, you're going to get NBC's call of the Kentucky Derby. VSiN listeners, remember, you can stick with Mike and I. And YouTube, it is now multi-view available. That being VSiN. Throw it in the multi-view with the race, and we're going to be here for you. VSiN at the track, the road to the Kentucky Derby. The race is next.